Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. And I want to send a big shout out to the One Institute who brings us here to be with you each and every Thursday live. And I want to thank LA Talk Radio for rebroadcasting us on various nights at various times. And remember, you can listen to all of our archive shows at latalkradio.com just by downloading and listening. Here we go. I think we have a special guest this evening. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air, and I believe we have our guest.
Yes, Dr. Jeffrey White.
Hello, Jeffrey White, is that you?
Jeffrey, are you on the phone?
It is I.
Awesome. So glad you're here.
It's all of the above.
Welcome. All right, Dr. Allen, you've got Jeff White with you.
Okay, shall I start now, or shall we do something first before we do this?
No, let's rock and roll. Let's rock and roll with Jeff.
Okay, let's do it right now. It's just fine. Good. I'm going to introduce you, Jeffrey. You're a licensed psychologist in California. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Since 1980.
What?
I said since around 1980.
Wait. Okay. Say it again. We're babysitting your
here. Yes, I've been a licensed psychologist in California for about 40 years.
Yes, and we've known each other how long?
At last count, about 25 years.
About 25 years. We didn't meet for like 10 years.
I guess not.
I hadn't met you, but I am a cognitive behavioral therapist, and you were trained in that field at the beginning, I think I remember.
That's right.
And then you switched to your area. Are you still predominantly doing EMDR?
I do a lot of EMDR, but EMDR is not a full therapy. It's a part of therapy. It's a psychotherapy treatment that was originally designed to alleviate distress that went with traumatic memories. You know, war veterans and sexual assault victims have very distressing memories and nightmares. So EMDR initially was very effective with that, but nobody really looked to see how else it might be helpful. And since then, its use has been expanded to a whole variances. So now it's much more useful, but still it's not a full treatment. It's not a total treatment in itself. It's very helpful, very useful for people.
I'm glad you're making the audience aware of that, but what you do makes my work, which is very intellectual, you bring the heart and the soul into the work. I work with a lot of women, and a lot of women have been abused and molested. And I really appreciate having you available for them. Now, what is that EMDR? I'm just going to act like I'm somebody in the audience. What is EMDR?
What is it? Well, EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. A very awkward name that basically does what I described a moment ago. It helps people process. It helps people through and past being stuck with the disturbing memories that were produced by the trauma that they have. Either a single incident trauma or chronic trauma and neglect over many years. But our work goes well together because the cognitive work you do is something that people benefit from, but sometimes they need a little boost on the emotional side and processing certain memories and experiences, which makes them even more accessible, even more amenable to what you do. So I think we've had really good teamwork over the years.
I sent you a woman, and I won't use her name, but she extolled your virtues tremendously. So is it physical? I mean, what kind of abuse? You know, we're in a miserable time right now. Is there any help for people that are traumatized by the stress and strain of losing houses and jobs and all of these things? Are you finding that your work is right now at this time with this virus disease? Is it helping deal with it?
It is, and I'll answer that in this way. The core of trauma, the hallmark of trauma, is powerlessness. Trauma is one or more events that renders people powerless. And the more things that's happening to a vulnerable person that makes them feel powerless is likely to produce symptoms of trauma, symptoms of PTSD. So as you just said, these days with the pandemic, people still have all the other challenges and demands of life that they had before, and now they've doubled it or tripled it or even more. So there are more things happening to make somebody feel powerless and also to feel disconnected from other people. So yes, people who before have no serious problems or no symptoms, now they do. And people who are suffering a lot are suffering all the more. I'm hoping that the whole thing is settled by now, but it's not. And it looks like it's going to go on for a while. And that makes people feel more hopeless, and hopelessness is part of powerlessness. So yes, EMDR, and not just EMDR, but any therapy approach that helps restore people a sense of power is going to be helpful.
Does it have an impact? I'm quite fascinated by the brain. Does it have a neurobiological impact on the brain, like rewiring the BROCA so that they do better because they're actually doing work on the brain?
Think of it sort of like the structure and the function of the brain, you know?
Okay.
And so think about any in life. You know, once you've successfully managed and handled the challenge, then your brain is now more mature. Now it's more sophisticated. Now it's capable of handling not only that challenge that you dealt with, but other challenges as well. So that's both a structural change in the brain. It's also a functional change in terms of what it's capable of doing. We're constantly integrating new experiences to add to our repertoire of strategies and tactics and abilities to do well with the next thing that comes down the road. So, yeah, it all comes down to the brain in the end.
Okay. Men I'm a marriage family therapist. Men have a tendency to want to be okay no matter what, okay, this and that. Do you find that you can do this kind of work on the average guy that's, well, like PTSD, that's what the soldiers are doing?
Well, one of the things that I tell men who are reluctant to seek help of any kind because it makes them feel less manly is that the U.S. government, the Army, the Armed Forces and the VA hospital system, this is one of the few approved trauma therapies. So veterans of Iraq, veterans from the Vietnam War, who were in VA hospitals. They're receiving EMDR and some other forms of therapy as well. So, you know, if it's good for the VA, it's good enough for you. Let's give it a try, because one of the advantages of EMDR is if it's going to work the way I do it, it'll start working within a few sessions. And I think one of men's fears is that they're going to be locked in a dependent relationship with a therapist for the rest of their life. So it's a relief to know that within a few sessions, within two or three sessions, I'm not promising you're going to be cured, but you will know. You will know whether the way I use EMDR is going to be helpful for you. And I want you to tell me directly if you are benefiting or if you're being helped.
Right. Do you work like in an office now because of this virus thing, or do you work over the phone?
Well, for the most part, I work over the phone. Sometimes it's important to people inside where we can maintain safe social distancing, and then continue on the phone or on the internet. So that hasn't, I was worried about that, but it hasn't really slowed things down too much, and there are ways of adapting EMDR to work over the phone.
Very, very, very good. So let's get down to how people, you know, this is a tough time, and I really want to bring as many of my respectable, you know, work hard, a fellow therapist, and you're one of the majors. So how can they get a hold of you?
Just give me a call at 310.
What's the number?
383-4604. 310-383-4604. Or just Google me. Jeffrey Weiss. Jeffrey with a G. G-E-O-F-F-R-Y.
Yeah, Joffrey.
Jeffrey
White.
Joffrey.
Good. And, okay.
Los Angeles.
You're available for that.
Sure.
I also recommend
people go to the EMDR website. Go to emdr.org.
It's
a very good website. Read about EMDR. Look at the research if you're science-oriented. And if you're not Los Angeles or you want to see somebody else, there's a... And you can find people in your area, or if you prefer a woman therapist, you know, just check it out on the referral list on the emdr.org website.
Hey, This show goes
around the world, and they can reach you from wherever they're at.
Sure. Yeah, I can help them find a referral.
Right. I like the book that Francine Shapiro wrote called Getting Past Your Past. Do you like that, or do you have something that you'd like to give people to read about their stressed situation today?
Well, it's hard to do better than Francine Shapiro, because she's the one who innovated EMDR in the first place. But I also very much like books by Laurel Parnell. Laurel Parnell, P-A-R-N-E-L-L. And she has some very good short videos that you can find on YouTube. You can watch EMDR being demonstrated by somebody who I consider one of the best people out there, in addition to Francine Shapiro.
Excellent.
It's wonderful to sort of see it in action.
Good. And people, we advertise these podcasts that people can use, rent them anytime. So I want you to know, I hope in this hard time that people heard what you said and take my accommodation and reverence for what you do, because you bring life into my logical mind and helps me teach people how to communicate. Do you see? So
yes, there's very strong communicative part to all of
what?
I want to say something.
Yes.
I want to say that EMDR has been used internationally. It's been used throughout the world. And I had the fortune of being asked to go to, during the Bosnian War in 1992 to 1995, I selected two or three of my colleagues, and we were flown there by the United Nations and did 3 weeks of training.
Whoa.
And those are people in a war zone under the worst circumstances, and they were helped very much. And then when the war was over, the French government asked us to come to France and do a training there. And I said, I'll only come to France if you bring some of these Bosnian therapists along with it. So they were initially reluctant to do it, but in the end they did. And it was an incredible experience, kind of bringing East and West together in Paris and sharing our knowledge together and talking about trauma and the different approaches in addition to EMDR. So it's kind of become an important part of my life.
Very, very good. Is it limited to older people? Can you do change? Are there limits to the use?
The youngest person that I've done EMDR with was a young girl, about a 5 or 6 year old girl who had been attacked by a dog. I know it was very sad. And after she was helped medically, and I was asked to help her, I went to her home in Riverside. And in order to help the little girl feel comfortable working with me, I had her sit on her mother's lap and face me. So as we were doing the technique with this young girl about the dog, her mother started reacting as well. And before I knew it, I was doing EMDR with the mother and the daughter at the same time. So, yes, children can be helped. And I think it's important.
So you have no, safe. You don't, there are many therapists that don't want children under 18, you know. But you're open to what's open to you.
Sure. I mean, most people who are in pain, no matter what age they are, they want some relief.
I know it.
So
I know it so much.
If you can become a safe person, then most people are interested.
Very, very, very good.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, do you have anything?
I have a question for Jeff.
Oh, what's your question?
Jeff, I heard you mention earlier that you do work with veterans, like our wonderful esteemed guest from last week, Robert Storr. Now then, I have a dear friend who is in the Army, and he has been going through a struggle. I'm wondering, do active duty members also, are they also allowed for, and he is in the Army, EMDR for them, somebody who's having some trauma?
No.
I think as a result of some of the prior things, and he's still active duty.
Sure. You know, the VA hospital is not just for veterans. VA hospital can see people who are active duty sometimes as well. But the U.S. Army has approved it.
Beautiful, so beautiful. I'm hoping he's listening.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said I am hoping he's listening. I think this would be really, really important for him right now.
It's easily accessible. You know, you can just call any VA hospital. I called a VA hospital in Washington, D.C. And they could get them connected to someone who could do an evaluation and see if EMDR, they think EMDR is appropriate. If he reads about it a little bit on the EMDR website and then calls, I think he would do a little bit better than just cold calling and not really knowing much anything about EMDR. But either way is fine.
Perfect. Thank you.
I want to commend you, particularly working with molested women. Girls and women that have been sexually molested and are traumatized and wounded and can't marry. And you've helped so many of the people that I have gotten into you that I wanted to say that in case there's somebody out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Okay.
It's been my pleasure to help.
Is there anything you want to say about yourself that would make you accessible to people who are having a problem beside the virus?
I probably said enough about myself.
Okay.
But I enjoy helping people find the right therapist. So I have, if I'm not the right one or people in other areas, I really enjoy helping find the right match. So
good.
People are
excellent.
Are welcome to call for that purpose as well.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Jeff, could we have your number one more time?
Sure. It's 310-383-4604.
Thank you so much. It's been so enlightening. My friend is listening and is hearing, and I'm excited about that.
Well, really enjoyable. Thanks for the time and the interest.
Thank you, Jeff, for being with us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Thank you.
Dr. Allen, you have the most amazing friends and people that you work with. Jeffrey White, last week we were blessed to have Robert Storr. Who, by the way, I have had some people reach out to me. It was incredibly meaningful for them with respect to what Robert was talking about. I know it's going to be with respect to what Jeffrey was talking about. And of course, we just had Patricia Altinge also, who was talking about dreams, and I've had like four or five people approach me, and I'd be like, you go talk to Patricia or Dr. Allen about your dreams, because they've got this on lock.
Hello.
Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr.
Good.
Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm so excited to talk to you. So, this breakup period, this post-breakup period, I know the wait time is 8 weeks. I'm in the sixth week. We broke up over money issues.
The last 2 weeks are the most stressful for both people.
It's so stressful. Oh my God, Dr. Pat, I miss him so much.
It's just... It's a rumination. Rumination is sometimes you get rid of people that you regret you did it to, and then you're stranded and you come to me and I have you write a hi-bye letter and do, you know, things. And sometimes people dump you and you have to deal with the pain of it. So the truth of the matter is the last 2 weeks are the most tempting to call the person, you know, like a wound on your body hurts the worst as it's about to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are you tempted to chase him?
I am so tempted. And can I just, like, give you just a quick backdrop of the breakup?
Please do.
That's okay. Okay, so I broke up with him on August 3rd. And then,
did you make a mistake?
I made a mistake. And so this is what I did, Dr. Pat. 3 days later, I texted him and, like, kind of said I wanted to talk. He called me, and then he needed 3 days. So we got back together for another week. But then I was given some counsel to just, like, kind of, like, take some more time to think about it. So, again, I took time to think about it. And then he just sent me a message saying he can't do this. So I guess I backpedaled twice, and I chased him a little bit after the first breakup.
That tortures you.
I know.
When I give you a direction, it's because I have either learned it or I've experienced it personally with my clients. And then, but if you don't, there's two ways to get over somebody. One is 2 years of no tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, and hearing him to desensitize from the oxytocin that a young woman or an older man does when they're emotionally, physically in love with somebody. That's the one. The second one is getting out there and dating. Now, we know, yes, the virus thing, you know, we can't get out that much, but you can get on Zoom group meetings, especially if you're in a 12-step program. There's tons of Zoom meetings where you can see people and talk to them and, you know, doing the right physical things, right distance, right this, right that. So what you're doing is you're breaking up the release mechanism for the 8 weeks so that every time, just remember this, every time you talk to him, taste him, touch him, smell him, see him, and hear him, you produce oxytocin. And that is like super glue at the short hair site. You marry them physically. You understand that?
Yes.
So you're going into the hardest period, the last 2 weeks.
May I share something about the dating part?
Yes.
I've been dating men, and, like, it's been going really good, too. I've still been going out. We've still been dating. I've still been getting to the third dates. And a lot of times the men will ask me to be their girlfriend on the first or second date. So that's going really good, but bad from the aspect that they want me to be their girlfriend, and my heart is still tied to this man. So
I understand that. But if you call him, you hear his voice. If you're within 30 inches of him, you know, you've done your setup. Maybe you're 12 feet away from him, but you're responding biochemically. Helen Fisher, who was the head of the dating service, wrote a book, and it's called Why Him, Why Her? And part of that book talks about the chemistry. I make a big, big deal out of it because I've done a lot of work with people on the issue of vasopressin and oxytocin. Vasopressin is the chemistry that men release, and they're starting to test baby boys to see if they have it. Because if they don't produce it by the age of 3, they can't be monogamous. And oxytocin is nature's way of causing people to physically bond, women physically bond to men their bodies like, even if the girls don't like the men. How do you like that?
Can I share something else, Dr. Pat? We were together for 8 months and we never had sex. We were going to wait till we got married. So would that still apply?
You know what? The worst thing is smelling him.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it takes for your body to want to bond? 3 minutes. You sit next to him in church. You don't even know him. You're lubricating. You know, and you're dreaming about him for 3 nights. And all it is nature doing its number.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to keep being remarried to him until you jump at somebody that's not right, but you want somebody, but you're doing it impulsively?
I really desire him. So but at the same time, I know I have to keep my heart open and keep dating. So I feel good about waiting the 8 weeks. So that's 2 more weeks. And then maybe I'll just call you back for a high bi letter consultation.
That you can write a high bi letter now. Do you know the formula?
I've heard it before. I don't know by heart.
Yeah. Do you have a paper and a pencil?
Yes.
Let's do it for the other ladies out there, too. A hi-bye letter is an overview of the relationship either you dumped or they dumped you. So the first paragraph of a hi-bye letter is everything that you can remember that you liked and loved about him and lusted when you met him. So it's why the second paragraph is the pain of making the mistake of dumping him or the pain of being dumped. Are you typing? Do I hear typing?
Yes.
Good. Tape, by the way, anybody who calls in, feel free to tape your session. Now, so that's the second paragraph. The third paragraph, what you have learned you don't want in a relationship. Whether it's changing yourself or being with somebody that you've tried to adjust to and it doesn't work. You see, that's the third paragraph. The fourth paragraph is what you never want to do again in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth paragraph is the goodbye. Thank you for reading my letter. And I wish you good luck in the future. And thank you for the fun we did have. That fifth paragraph is basically the goodbye. The top four are an overview of the relationship.
In the fifth paragraph, can I keep it open if you want to? In the fifth paragraph, would it be okay to keep it open if he wants a relationship with me again?
No, that goes at the last paragraph. If you've dumped him and you want to remind him that you made a mistake, which you put in as the second paragraph, pain. I am in so much pain that I impulsively dumped you. Do you see?
Yeah.
PMS or something.
That was actually.
Or you were drunk. Who knows? Okay, so yeah. I want you to write that letter and have it ready at the end of the 8 weeks. He gets it.
Okay, so like I could text it to him?
What?
I can text it to them or mail it to them?
Yes, you can text it. Depends on how long it is. You can make them short, a couple sentences each paragraph, or you can make, some people make them pretty long. It's up to you.
Okay. All righty.
If you want my approval of the letter, call the office, my office, and set up between 12 and 1 through Fridays. I will answer a question or I'll listen to a letter. I won't do a session.
Then reach out to info@drpatallen.com via email.
Okay.
You see?
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Good luck, caller. All right. The Hi Bye letter is just amazing. And
it
again,
is.
I say write
it. It's a spinoff of the tools that I've created, which are the basics, but it sure does a good job.
Well, for me, it's like this. The whole thing happens and write it. Maybe you edit it. Maybe you revise it like you do a paper that you're now. But you write it away. Write it right away. And keep rewriting it if you have to until it's perfect. Maybe call in and have an appointment with you and get a read over. But there's something so inherently therapeutic about taking that pen, writing on that paper, taking it, everything that's happening. And again, like I said,
it surely does. Very therapeutic.
Was a hurricane. It was a tornado followed by a hailstorm. But you know what? I kept working through it. And then finally, at the end of the game, I was done. I didn't need to.
I know that. I know that. You know the reason? Because it is a high-bye letter. You're doing closure. It's the best closure technique I've created in my behavioral work. I want to remind that I can listen from Monday to Friday over the lunch hour. Have to book
it. We want anything like giving numbers out on the air, so let's not do that. But
no, we don't want to give, yeah.
So, but one of the things I think is so amazing is how truly cathartic it is. I mean, I didn't even realize it in the beginning that you're just working through it. And people are always coming back and saying to me, no, I have to do this, or I have to do that, or I have to talk to him, because I need closure. And I don't think that most of the time they're really maybe looking for closure, Dr. Allen. I think really what they want to do is verbally spew a high bye letter, which is much better written. What do you think about that?
I think it's appropriate. It's a good technique. It's closure. It expresses what's going on in mind.
Now, what causes that thing inside of us where we really feel we need closure on something?
Because it haunts you. That's what we just dealt with Dr. White on. We've got to clear the plates. Otherwise, they rot.
Right. There's all that, the leftovers that are just
that's right,
rotting into, you know.
The thing I love the most to hear is women in particular that have been dumped say, this didn't hurt like it's done before. And the reason with it is that you've written a letter saying, thank you, but goodbye, or thank you, I'm done.
Okay. So tell me, Dr. Allen, have you ever had an experience of talking with or dealing with somebody who's received one of these high by letters. Have you ever maybe had a couple therapy sessions after?
What? I'm going to tell you something. The response factor for these letters is like 85%.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
People call back and say, here's what happens. You've got a man, and he got drunk or did something, and he dumped you, okay?
Right.
Then the 8 weeks start. Do you realize that men's soul, the anima, is so sensitive that he immediately thinks we want to kill him because of what he did to us? So they don't reach out to us.
Right.
But
right.
If they made, like, if I sense that the man was drunk and he dumped you, or he, whatever he did, it ended the relationship.
Right.
If he knew by the high by letter you sent him that you didn't hate him, you just had hurt feelings. Do you see?
Yeah,
and that's why the high by letter, it says what you like, and then it says the pain, and then it says what you don't want, that you want. And then it says, thank you for the experience. Remember, you build your life on the experiences that are painful.
Exactly.
If we could learn from pleasure, be a different world. We learn from our painful experiences.
Exactly. Speaking of painful experiences, we have somebody on the line. I wonder if their experience is like that. Hey, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hey, Dr. Pat, this is Maureen.
And, hi there. How are you doing way back there? How are you doing? How are you doing with your food?
I got 9 days on a program, but I think it's going to shift because of Zoom. I found the food meetings on Zoom, and it's made all the difference.
Oh, isn't Zoom good? Oh, hallelujah. They have Al-Anon meetings on Zoom. They have women's meetings. They have AA meetings. There are so many Zoom programs, you see, for people with problems with food or drinking or sex or whatever. So what can I do for you today?
Well, you know, just first of all, I want to thank you because I'm so grateful I found you so many years ago. But, you know, I definitely was thinking about the high buy letter. I think my weight is partially from a lot of unresolved emotional experiences in my life and my marriage. And maybe even though I'm not leaving, maybe it would be good for me to write the high buy letter to help process it, and then I can, you know, release some of the stuff.
Are you saying process it with your husband or process it with a therapist? Who are you talking about?
With you.
Oh, I see. Then why don't you do that? You took the formula down, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I didn't hear the second paragraph. I heard the other.
Okay, the first paragraph, yeah. That was a Freudian slip. The second paragraph is the pain. The pain that you've had, that you haven't spoken of it till now.
Okay.
The first paragraph is everything you liked.
Yes.
Second is the pain of the problem, whatever it is. The third one is what you never want again. The fourth one is what you want now and forever.
Okay.
And the fifth is thank you for reading this letter. And if you're interested in coming back or whatever, give me a call.
Okay. And then my question, thank you. I will do that, and I'll call you back with that, either on the phone or personally.
Okay.
But my question tonight would be, my question for tonight would please be, like, we've sort of neutralized each other. There's no sexual chemistry between the two of us. We're polite. We get along. We're devoted to our
family. You're friends.
Yeah. And
all right.
It's not good.
Are you saying that you want to be more sensual?
Yes.
Then are you in good enough shape? Sometimes men are turned off with that.
I am, but I think he would like me thinner, so I do need to, I am spending time in my body, getting my body better. I do work out and exercise.
All right. So you're doing the best you can.
Right.
Do you have a yoga center with tantric yoga?
No, but we've done a tantric yoga workshop a while ago, and it was too much for him. But we do kind of spoon from that. We do. But I think that's the root. I think I'm going to need to do that. And when I get centered in that, he'll kind of be taken along with it, is what I'm thinking.
Do you agree? Get a book and maybe start a little group.
Of women or of couples?
Well, start with women and expand it later.
Really? I don't know of any. I did the workshop that explained a few things, but I don't know what we would do in an ongoing group. You mean the exercises?
Well, what they are is ways of communicating, like maybe it's the... I have no real experience with tantric yoga, but I send people to tantric yoga trainers, therapists, that know it. And from what I see in the people I send, they teach you how to look in the eyes, not look away, and be affectionate. You're not having sex with people. You're being affectionate. You understand that if you don't make love once a week, if you're a woman, your dendrites dry up and you don't want to make love.
Right.
That's nature's mercy. All right, honey, your husband's dead or he's crippled. So we're going to turn you off. But if you meet a man and he turns your dendrites back on, you're going to be going for it.
Right.
I had a client. I'm thinking of a client today. She sobered up and she didn't date for a year. And now she's got this hot and horny, also sobering up, who wants to be romantic. And guess what contract I got for them? She was in charge of everything that was sexual, and he could ask to be affectionate because he had the fortune of coming across a virtuous woman who was not going to have intercourse unless she was monogamous, continuous, and aiming towards marriage. Do you see what happened?
Yes.
And what was interesting is this man thought he'd have to drop her because she was going, no, I don't want to have sex. The truth of the matter is he was fine when she said, I don't want to have intercourse unless I've got a promise ring or an engagement ring. Because I don't want to do the things I did when I was a drunk. You see?
Yeah.
So guess what? Within 1 hour, they had agreed to remission using the tools to give her a hug or hold her hand or do whatever. You see?
Oh, my goodness. All right, Pat. Well, so I'm going to get, you know, my body in better shape, and then I'll look up the Tantra yoga and see what I can do.
Darling, you can start Tantra yoga immediately.
Yes. I'm naturally very affectionate, but I've never been overtly seductive. However, I've always been the one to initiate sex. It's never been really a two-way.
So why aren't you initiating now?
It's really, I think he's very low testosterone, very stressed from work, and it's just...
I got it. Offer him foot rubs. Do you know the most sensuous sexual part of the body are foot rubs?
You know, that's so funny. Somebody said that to me a long time ago, but she didn't explain why. I do touch
why
him a lot.
It's just the feet. The feet are very susceptible to sensual touch. You either laugh and giggle because you're being tortured by giggling, or you've got somebody. I know when my husband was dying, sad but dying, we weren't really able to make love, is that he would offer me foot rubs, and I would pay him back with foot rubs.
That's lovely. All right, so I'm going to continue then. A lot of seductive touch and smiling, and as you say, look good, smell good, feel good.
Get your dendrites up.
Yeah.
Remember, nature shuts down those dendrites, so you're not tortured by being horny without relief.
Right. We've just gotten into this horrible rhythm of not doing it at all. And,
what you've done is you've started to treat each other like you're old or crippled. And the pleasure centers in your body have shut down the dendrites. You're not responding.
Right.
Once a week, please massage or touch or shower or bathe, do something that would be classified as sensuous.
Yes. All right, Pat.
It does not have to be intercourse.
Right. Okay, I'll follow that direction, and then I'll call you again next week, Pat. Thank you so much.
Good. Do it.
Thank you.
Nice to hear from you.
Thank you, caller.
I love
you, Pat. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Awesome. Neat. I love it. So cool. Okay, so we are having a question about the high bi-litter. And this young woman says, I have a friend. We grew up together since kindergarten. We did everything together. We even got married the same year to our respective husbands. We both had a baby the same year. And there's been a breakdown in our friendship. I'm wondering if the high bi letter would work for that, and how would you put that together?
It would work with that. It works wherever someone you love has either pulled away from you or you pulled away from them and you regret it.
So she's wondering if you could lay out how the five paragraphs would be for a long, lifelong friend that, and I can understand the pain of that. Unfortunately, to suicide. So, but before something like that happens, how would you address that high bi letter to a friend?
What would it be like a woman woman or a woman to a man? What is, are they lovers?
It's two women that grew up together. Like, they got married at the same time. They had a baby on the same year. They've been friends since they were children in kindergarten, and they're in their 30s now. And there's been some sort of
They've grown apart. Are you saying they've grown apart?
Yes. Well, this woman's feeling the pain of it.
Then the letter would be, I'm writing this letter to let you know how I feel about us not being in relationship to each other, at least on the phone. And then the first paragraph is what you remember that you liked. And the second is the pain of not hearing or doing anything about this relationship. Every relationship that has an essence of love in it is the basic tool is hi-bye letters.
Right.
Because they're loving, respectful, cherishing, and open to building on.
Exactly. She's just curious she's saying she understands the first part of what you like and the pain, but she's not sure how to transition for her last three paragraphs.
Oh, I want us to talk to each other once a month. I don't want to ignore each other.
Awesome.
And then thank you for reading this. At least let me know that you read it and you don't want it, but you appreciate it. Sometimes there's an old wound that has never been dealt with.
Yeah. I'm sensing that's a very big possibility.
Somebody has to bring it up, and the hi-bye letter brings it up. I have another technique that's grown out of our
pandemic.
Coronavirus,
COVID-19, yeah, the pandemic.
Coronavirus, right. It's called Where Did You Go?
Oh, I love this tool.
This is one for single people that are building their necessary friendship. Today, we used to, in the old days, go after sex. Now we can't do that because it's disease burdened. What we do now is we must build friendships. And so, you've got a date with somebody for the Zoom where you can see them and you can wink and do whatever you do. Gosh, this was nice. I want us to do this Zoom date again next week. And you go, yeah. Then next weekend comes and you don't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened is he got scared that you were going to join me too and be mad.
I hear that.
Afraid of women.
Oh, yeah.
So here's what you do. You send him a note, just a text, email. We fun. You said we were going to get together. Where did you go?
I love it.
Now,
I love it.
That hasn't dated you at least once and said, we've got to do this again. When you chase him and he hasn't done, gee, we had fun. Let's do it again. you're chasing them, and now it's got you being a man and him being a woman. So that isn't what I'm doing. Where did you go is an honest question based on evidence of familiarity.
Right, because you can't just say that to somebody who didn't say I had a good time. If they just say,
no,
okay, bye.
You can't do it unless there's some kind of signal that he was going to do it. May not have been, I'll pick you up at 7, but it was, we've got to do this next week. We've got to do it again, okay?
Right.
What's amazing is that the man feels liked. His fear goes away, and then he acts like a normal dating man. I think that's miraculous.
I do too, and I'm hearing from a lot of male friends, lots of male friends. So, you know, they'll call me up and they'll be like, you know, I really wanted to ask this woman out for a date, but like I talked myself out of it. And so that's one of the things I think is really, well, almost terrifying in a sense, is that these
it
guys.
It is terrifying. They're... Look, men are, okay. Men were too aggressive and women were too generous in those back years. And now. This virus is cleaning up our act because we can't do a lot of things sexually that we used to be able to do. And that's, there's something good in everything. And that's what's good here. So it's like I forsook the fact that my work would be handy now. Make friends.
Well, and you say that you've been consistent saying that all along. Don't just, you know, okay, if you really want a relationship, then you don't just go for this, you know, you just don't go for the sex. I mean, and you've said it before, and I love what you said. My grandmother used to say it, and, you know, friendship never goes past that. And you don't go from that back to holding hands. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. I love the
so.
The girl has a blind date with the guy. He's coming to the house, and she's been to Pat Allen. She comes down the stairs, opens the door, and says, "I've got to be monogamous, continuous, and marriage bound to have intercourse." He says, "I thought we were having dinner."
Yes, exactly. And that's funny, too, because up until what's been happening with this pandemic and the Zoom dating and all this kind of stuff, I had these women that were saying to me, well, you know, I went out on a date with him and then I know it's going to go this way. And then, of course, when it wouldn't go the way that they had projected, they couldn't figure out that what the hell happened. They didn't want to date anybody else. It was like that instantaneous monogamy you talk about and how truly detrimental that actually is. What is that, Dr.
The first thing you've got to do is build a friendship. Do you want to be respected by your man or your woman first, or cherished by your man or your woman first? You can't have respect and cherishing. That makes you a 10, and whoever's with you is a 0. So read my book, Getting to I Do, or read my book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. And right now, if you get on the website, you can see a little manual about communication and chemistry. What is the name of that we're showing them?
Yeah, we are. Let me double check that link. But it's It's going to be at www.drpatallen.com. And I'm just looking it up right now while we're chit-chatting. And we have a little video on that front main part of our site. Let me scroll down here to our little video. And that's another thing, too. If you are looking for products, and I know a lot of you, I get a lot of people talking to me about it, and I'm like, yeah, www.oneistore.com. So the video we have for free for everybody right now, special free access. And I think Dr. Allen and Sue Wagner, who is the CFO of the One Institute, opted to put this up for everybody. We think it is really poignant right now with this whole pandemic that's going on, to be able to access this video about chemistry, compatibility, and communication in relationships. So right now, we really need to use and exercise those tools when we're so separated from each other by physicality. But we don't have to be separated from each other with our compatibility and our communication. And while I know Dr. Allen and I both agree that chemistry is incredibly amazing, I think sometimes when you have the communication and the compatibility,
yes,
that chemistry almost kickstarts on its own, like it's a kickstart action. So you can find that chemistry, compatibility, and communication in relationships, special free access at www.drpatallen.com. Scroll down. It's close to the bottom of the page, but it's there, and it is free right now, which is spectacular, and I love it. And thanks to Sue and the One Institute for doing that and putting that up for us to be able to give everybody that little something. And that's one of your favorites.
My also book, Staying Married and Loving It.
Yes.
That's a good
one. Which is an excellent. Yeah. It's an excellent book. So.
Do we have any other guests on the phone?
We don't right now. I'm not sure what's going on with our switchboard, but sometimes from time to time, because we are on Skype, there's a lot of bandwidth going on. We don't always get what we have, but I'm going to tell everybody the number again. It's 323-203-0815. And we do have our Facebook people, which sometimes feel neglected because we get so busy with our calls sometimes. So, pardon me, we have a gentleman tonight who is asking us this. Dr. Allen, I have been with my wife for 14 years. We have three beautiful children, and I'm feeling frustrated. I think I'm hitting a midlife crisis. Now then, Dr. Allen, does that mean I'm going into andropause? Am I just hitting a midlife crisis? Is it just all the craziness going on in the world? I don't want to hurt my wife or upset my wife, but I kind of feel like I want to go on adventures. And our children are now, so they're pretty
What I'm hearing is perimenopause or periandropause. Up there into 45, up from 45 to 55 and well into 60s, you go into a hormonal genetic turnaround. The testosterone in your body goes down, and the estrogen that's been there since you were born is impacting you, and you are way more sensitive to pleasure. Midlife crisis is when women become men and men become women. We offer men, they start looking at other women, or they start wanting that Jaguar, and women want to go to grad school, or they want to make love to the neighbor. Midlife crisis is when women become men and men become women. And I have DVD or something. It's called The Over 50 Relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Because we change from one sexual behavior to another. And if we know it's coming, you can work with it. So this gentleman is saying to me anyway, I am getting so sensitive to pleasure and the lack of pleasure that it's starting to create fantasies of go get it, tiger, which I know are not smart. And that's a call to go to a therapist of well repute and go over inventorying time, space, money, and play, chapter 14 in my book, Getting to I Do, because your marriage needs to be upgraded regularly, especially when you get into your 40s, 50s, and definitely your 60s. So mating and marriage are both built on the same principles as a business. You've got to keep them upgraded or they fall apart.
Well, it's just like anything. It's like a house. You know, it's funny. Everybody's like, I bought a house. I'm at the end game. But you're really not. If you bought a house, you have just started on the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the end game. It's constant work. It is constant work. And I don't think people realize that sometimes.
That work keeps you young. You need three things in life. A living creature to love, whether it's something interesting to do that humans benefit from. That's have a job of some kind, especially one that helps people. And something to look forward to that's not an affair, you see? Because that's going to dismantle the other things.
Yeah.
See,
and so...
See, I love the ad on TV with that Phelps guy, the swimmer.
Oh, yeah, Michael
Phelps.
You
ever see that ad? When you get into trouble, see a licensed therapist. Isn't that great?
Yes. It is. It really is. So, okay, so the DVD set is Over 50 Communication Tools DVD. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that... it's really very thorough. This set talks about the five curses of life and the antidotes, brain differences. Tools are really the foundation of what you teach.
Shall I do the tools now?
I would love the tools now. It would be beautiful because this over 50 thing, I have multiple questions tonight that I'm reading of people that are over 50. And I think that this COVID thing is really having an effect on people that are over 50. I don't know if it's that mortality slapping or what it is, but I think the over 50 tools are perfect. Oh, wait. I just got a message from our switchboard. They have a caller for us. We're going to come back to our tools.
That outranks my lectures.
It does. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. I have a
question.
I recently had a man ask me out twice. He has communicated that he'd like to keep in touch. He has been texting me on and off. I have been having him chase me, but is there... with the long distance, I'll be gone for 13 weeks. Is it appropriate for me to reach out first or should I just continue waiting?
Now, did you hear me teaching? Where did you go?
No.
Have you been listening? Okay. What you said is you dated this gentleman, and then for some reason you disconnected. Is that correct?
Well, I left the area. He asked me out twice. And so he took me out two times, and then I had to leave for work.
Okay.
So left the area.
So I'm going to say, pretend, do, act like you remember him, and where did we go? You know, okay. there are dating services that are just visual and verbal. You can start building a relationship for the future.
Okay.
So yeah, it would be like this. I know that I moved away from you way back when, but I thought about you recently and I want to reconnect. So if you're interested in being friends, at least, here's how to do it. But you're the one that reached out to him. Do you have a number? Do you have some kind of data contact?
Yeah, he communicated before I left that he wanted to keep in contact.
Good for him. Then you didn't reach out to him. Do you want to reach out to him?
Yes.
Well, then how long ago was that connect?
He has been reaching out pretty much every other day, just asking me questions about like my job. And
he's courting you into friendship. I got it. So are you responding to him?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am. I wanted to make sure that there are times when I feel like I want to text him first before he's talked to me that day. And I'm stifling it because I want him to.
The ratio is 2-1. For every two contacts, you get one free one. You make one.
Okay. My
That's the ratio. 1-1 is basic friendship. You don't want friendship. You want 2-1.
Okay, yeah.
So he calls you twice or something, and you
reach out
using
in. Okay. And then I have one more question. He... within this year has recently gotten divorced, but the papers have been signed. I don't even know what my question is. How okay to like get into a serious relationship with someone?
Wait a minute. You're divorcing or who's divorcing?
No, he recently, January of this year, got divorced. He divorced his ex-wife.
Okay, he divorced his ex-wife. Well, you're not asking him to have sex. You're asking him to have a friendship. You've already started a friendship. Remember, every good love starts with the basic core of friendship. Otherwise, you're going to be burdened with sex, not making love. Okay. Sex is what animals do, and people that don't have somebody to love. And you need somebody, whether it's a dog or a human. He's divorced, that's his situation, but you're not asking for sex.
Mm-mm. No.
But you are going for friendship based on the contact you've had so far.
Correct, yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Good. Okay.
Thank you, Carl.
So,
I got to use that tool.
Okay.
Right. All right. So let's go back to where we were. Let's go back to our tools.
Okay. Now, you want...
Hold on. I'm sorry, Dr. Allen. The calls are coming in now, left and right.
Well,
so,
now we know how to attract calls.
Yeah, we do. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Another question.
I sure do. Good evening, Dr. Allen, and hi, Kelly. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, Dr. Allen. Thank you for all that you do. I have a question again about a gentleman in andropause. He's 64 years old, and I know I've
all
heard
right.
you
yes,
talk.
All right, yes, he is.
Yes, he sure is. And he is ambidextrous.
And remember, he is very susceptible to oxytocin bonding from a horny woman.
Right. And that's actually part of my question. Very intuitive
so
on your
what
part.
Is it?
So I've listened to you speak a lot about cherishing his feelings, but I wanted to know what else you can do to bond. As you said, is it through sex, or is there anything else that you can speak to?
Well, what is the standing of the relationship? Are you casual friends?
It's an open dating relationship.
You have what?
An open relationship.
You have a dating relationship or just a friendship?
Dating relationship.
I didn't hear that word.
Dating?
Kelly, interpret for that sentence, please.
Dating. Dating relationship.
You've got a dating relationship.
Yes.
With a man who's both masculine and feminine, and how old are you?
52.
So you are menopausal or premenopausal. So
yes.
You're, the four of you are well balanced. You four of you are well balanced. And do you want to be respected or cherished as a priority?
Well, I'd love to be cherished, but I don't know if that's possible given the
because
you know,
of the age.
Yes, correct.
Now, I'm going to say this very carefully.
Okay.
When your man says, boy, I just hate my job, blah, 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 blah. What do you say to him?
What can I do to help you feel better?
That's right. And if he says, my next door neighbor's tree is coming over the fence and I'm mad about it.
What can I help you? How can I help you?
To handle the tree.
Okay.
And so when you're up over 45 to 65 in there, you listen to his leadership in times. Remember, my tools are for times that are touchy, sensitive, or painful. You
right.
can talk any way you want when you can talk any way you want until you see the body signaling you. Tones of voice, gestures, postures, facially. You get that, whoa. And then you say, what can I do to help us do better? I sense by the look on your face you're upset. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you want to chase him, ask him for help.
Okay.
Now, the help can be the following. I'm trying a new... I'm trying a new recipe.
Okay.
That I plan to use on a family. Would you be so kind as to be my testee?
Mm-hmm.
Then I have another one that I use on people. I got these tickets from my client And would you be willing to escort me to this play?
Okay. Okay.
You see?
Yep.
Have I answered your question?
Yes, I do have just one follow-up, and it's what you said initially. They are susceptible to oxytocin bonding, meaning that they're more likely to bond through sex. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's why when we get mature, when we get up, we become cougars. It's so fascinating. I'm 86 years old, right?
Yes.
But I love flirting. I'm a widow 4 times. Right?
Right.
So I use my stuff. If you don't pay attention to what you're doing, you won't get credit for it. When I flirt, I look in the... See, what's nice about being old is you can flirt with any age as long as it's 18. that's why they call us cougars. You see? So with that in mind, because we women are very masculine, when our progesterone and testosterone turn on, you see?
Yes.
And men are very feminine when they're up in that same bracket.
So
we all
get
to be both.
Yes.
Sometimes. What?
So is it then, is it there still a line where it crosses into chasing him, Dr. Allen, even though he's in this andropause sort of space?
As long as you're asking him to serve you, not chasing. That's what
fantastic.
I'm saying.
Okay. Okay.
That ticket thing works really well. I want to be escorted to the play or the show or whatever. That you're manipulating. See, I believe in lying for love. There's no moral, ethical, or legal problem, but it's like lying for your love in the date service. You know, when you go to the wedding license, they'll find out how you old, but it's creating a scene. It is.
Okay. And lastly, he tends to ask me to have, you know, to meet up with him sort of at the last minute sometimes, which I'm happy to do if my schedule allows. But do you have a do you have a tool for when my schedule doesn't allow and he gets sensitive about it or he gets
the first
about
thing
it?
Is, oh, shucks. See what I'm doing?
Yes.
Now, there will be times when somebody you don't want to go out with, and you'll do the same thing. That's a lie for self-love. You're going out with your girlfriends, and you'd rather go with them than the other guy.
Okay. So you could say, I'm so sad, you know, this, but I can't make it tonight, but I'd love to see you soon or something like that.
Yes, that's it. Women don't do that very well. They don't say, I'm really too tired tonight, but I'm very available, blah, 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 with him.
Okay.
Guys, I want every woman that's listening to realize that the anima, Carl Jung's wife, Eva, wrote the anima animus. Men's souls are the anima. Women's souls are the animus. Remember, US is male and A is female at the end of a word?
Yes.
Okay. So nature in its mercy is always allowing us to explore maleness, femaleness, you know, chase them. You can do anything as long as you know you're doing it and have checked the price tag.
Right.
The problem is people go splattering out there without checking the price tag. And if you really want to be see somebody with a license, like a doctor, a lawyer, mm-hmm. a therapist, or maybe a spiritual director. Those are the sages. You know what a sage is?
A wise
person. I Ching. Yeah. It's a wise person, right. Follow your sage.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Allen. This is very helpful. I appreciate your work and your being of service to all of us. Thank you.
I love doing it because it keeps me young.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. Have a wonderful evening.
We'll
Thank
do.
You, caller.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Now we're going to talk about the tools, unless, of course, we get another call. But let's start anyway.
Do we have a tool? Do we have a call, or shall I do a tool?
Let's do a tool.
Okay. What was that?
No, we're good. Uh-oh. You're good. Go for it.
What was that noise?
I didn't hear anything.
What?
I didn't hear anything. We're okay.
Oh, I heard this noise. Sounded like a buzzer of some sort. Okay, you're a woman and you want to be cherished by a man, even though you're 65. Here's what you do. Preferably have a man that's 10 years younger. See, women don't realize it. Men do not mind going with an older woman because we're interesting, we're educated usually, we're self-reliant, and if we've taken even half the care of ourselves, we're still, as Benjamin Franklin said, it's pretty much the same on top and on the bottom, but they appreciate it more when they're dated.
I love it.
Yeah, he wrote a letter to his son. That was funny. Anyway, please respect the man by not mothering him. Don't ask him how he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. Ask him always what he thinks, wants, opinions, suggestions, ideas, wants. And what you can do to help them achieve it. The second tool, you want to mother him. You can't stand his eyebrows. He's got bad breath. You've got to teach him. I hope not. Buy some gum. It's just as good. Anyway, the second tool is make an appointment. Honey, I have an idea. We've been dating about 3 months. I have an idea that I think would really enhance you. Do I have permission to share it with you? Is it convenient? 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 Not comfortable. Got it?
Got it. Uh-huh.
Third tool, he's irritated you. He's done something, said something that irritated you. First, mouth. You had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that. You had every right to be you, but I'm uncomfortable with that. Are you willing to consider not doing that when you're with me? Got that?
The yeah, I fourth think that's fair.
Tool. What?
I think that's fair.
I didn't hear that.
I think it's very fair.
Okay. The fourth tool, 90% of all communication is body language, tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expressions. But you can't negotiate with those. So you have to say, I sense by the tone of your voice that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes. When would it be convenient for you to tell me about it? Hopefully today. I'm upset because you touched the waiter's arm.
Oh, okay.
You see? And the fifth tool is you're afraid to talk to him that you're going to boo-boo. So you do timeout. Timeout is what the referees do with their hands. Timeout, they form a T. Or if you're on the phone, timeout. And that means I'm upset about something. And you'll say, he'll say, what are you saying? I'm saying timeout because I'm upset about what you're saying or doing. Are you interested in knowing what it is so you can maybe fix it? That's the girls. I don't think we have time for the guys. Or do we? Do we have time for the guys?
Let's do it.
Okay.
We've got
your guy, and you want to be cherished because you're
okay.
Older.
Okay.
That is what you do. Honey, I'm hungry. Do you want to cook us a bite? See what he's doing?
Mm-hmm.
He's asking for what he wants, but it's, he wants to be cherished. So,
got it.
If a man wants to be cherished, like I just taught a girl wanting to be cherished, we better do a man wanting to be respected.
Okay.
Okay. First tool, never ask her what she thinks, wants, opinions, suggestions, ideas. Always tell her, I think this is good. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want you to cook us a meal, whatever it is. Followed by, how do you feel about doing it?
Exactly. Got it? Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Second tool. You want to bitch, moan, teach, preach, and question her. Honey, I've got something to say to you that's painful. When would it be convenient, when would it be comfortable for you to listen to my discomfort? See what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's the third tool. Fourth tool. I sense, I think, I believe, by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, your gesture, you're upset about something. Am I right? No, you're not. I'm fine, but I'm mad at that man at the next table because he keeps reaching under her dress. Oh. Do you want to go over there and talk to him? No, I want you to go over there and talk to him. No, I don't want to start a fight with anybody.
Uh-huh.
See, that's where she's saying something bitchy and she wants him to do it. Okay. So, with that in mind, time out.
Yeah.
When you're with a man and you want to time out him because he's upsetting you over something, just say, show it with your hands, like the referee. He'll say, what are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm unhappy about something. Are you interested in what it is? And then, what can I do to help you do better?
Right.
Okay?
Right,
so
yes.
These are the tools, but you, after you get older, have the right to do both set of tools, depending on him or her or what you want. Everybody needs
okay,
to know
so,
every minute what?
So, for example, if a man is in andropause and he's more feminine, then you're in menopause and you're more masculine, you would swap tool sets.
You what?
You would swap tool sets?
I didn't hear that sentence.
Would you then swap tool sets?
You would swap, absolutely. Always, if he's mm-hmm. in his feelings, you're in your mother logic. but with permission. Mm-hmm. If he's in his thinking, for God's sake, don't act like a man yourself or the war will start. Okay?
Right.
The opposite, because you're both androgynous when you're in your 50s and 60s. That's nature. Can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny?
Mm-hmm.
Men go to doctors and get shots, you know, for their manly things.
Right. Like testosterone shots.
Testosterone, yeah. When the truth of the matter is, it's the estrogen in their body that is causing them to feel so much. And do you know what they
right.
do to women? What?
Right. And that's interesting because you cannot reduce the amount of testosterone or increase the amount of testosterone in the body with effect if there's some other hormonal chemical combating that.
That's right. So have your testosterone checked. No, have your estrogen checked, fellas, because if you're really weepy or really sensitive. And for women, when women are too doormatty, what do they give them?
Yeah.
Testosterone patches.
Testosterone. Right. Right. Oh, we've got a caller. Okay. Our last caller on the night. Caller,
okay.
You're live with us on the air. Do you have a question?
Hello. Yes, I do. How's everyone tonight?
What?
Doing great. What's your question?
So I have a question about duty dating.
Is duty dating?
Yes. Is three like concrete rule, or can there be four? Or
men or women? If you're a man, it's woman, and if it's woman, it's man.
Mm-hmm.
Not chemically attracted to. So many people dump nice human beings because they don't look like their ex-husband or dad or something. I want you to duty date people three times before you get rid of them, unless you have to call a police officer or a lawyer.
So then, let me ask you this.
There are so many nice people out there given a chance, showers.
And you know, that's my biggest issue. Is that once, okay, so you said get rid of them. After the 3 dates, what if you find you have a great platonic liking for this person, but maybe, you know, categorically they're not romantic type?
I have so enjoyed dating you these three times. But I don't have romantic feelings, and I don't want to use you or take advantage of you or lead you on.
Okay, that's what I was wondering about. Because, you know, I've met so many people, and I would love to be friends. There's a good question for you. Do you think that friendships, real platonic friendships, exist between men and women that don't, where one person doesn't necessarily want to, like, take it somewhere where it shouldn't go?
I didn't even hear that.
Well, I said
it went too fast. What was it?
I'm sorry. Do you think that there is really platonic friendship between men and women where never does it go to a place where it shouldn't go?
Well,
do you think it's possible for that to really exist?
You mean go to a sexy place for a date?
Well, I mean, okay, so imagine you went out with somebody three times and you really enjoy their company, and maybe they really enjoy yours, and they just want to literally be friends with nothing else involved. Do you think that is a sustainable thing?
That's what I just gave you.
Right, that's what I'm,
have a great experience, but I don't have romantic feelings. I don't have the chemistry, and I don't want to lead you on, and I don't want to take advantage of you.
Right. Okay. I got you.
Be a good friend.
It is. Awesome. I like that. I like that a lot.
Okay. Good.
Wonderful.
I like it too. Good.
Awesome.
Good, good, good.
Thank you so much. I just was looking for some clarity. You have a good night.
You too.
What?
Thank you. She said, okay. Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you for clarity. So cool.
Very good. Talk to you next
week. So we were talking about the tool swap. And the tool swap, I think, is really important. But one of the things I'm noticing that people aren't getting is when you need to really watch. And when we're Pat trained, we have the ability to watch when he's shifting, and to make sure you're staying in step so that you're waltzing and not slam dancing, which is what we get when we're both using the same hammer.
Yes, that's so true.
I mean, you know, I mean, no, and you say it. You say you both can't be the pilot. Someone's got to be the co-pilot. You both can't be the driver.
You don't have to be the flight attendant. What you do is know your position. If you want to be respected, be the pilot. If you want to be cherished, be the co-pilot that respects the pilot.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's so important. Because, yeah, I definitely
is great. Equality is great for business, but it's competitive for love. Complementarity is good for love.
Exactly. We are out of time, Dr. Allen. What do you have to say before we go?
The only way we know we love yourself or anybody else are the contracts we're willing to make and keep.
Definitely keep. Thank you, everybody. We're so glad you were with us here tonight. We are so glad that Jeff White was here with us tonight. Please look back on our shows, listen to our archives if you need that information on Jeff, if you need the information on Robert Storr and veterans and suicide prevention, please listen to last week's show. And if you're interested in dreams, listen to the week before with Dr. Patricia Allen and Patricia Alpenge. Until then, next week, we love you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.